Well, it's time for In the Chains, the UK-based podcast for amateur disc golfers. Get ready for course reviews, disc reviews, and the latest news and updates from the disc golf world. Your hosts will also talk about their own progression and have a lot of fun along the way. And now, here they are, two Brits and one Yang. Let's get started.
What's up, Chain Crew? This podcast is sponsored by Upper Park Disc Golf. For those of you who don't know, Upper Park makes some of the best disc golf bags on the market, used by tons of pros all across the Pro Tour. They even have bags to suit absolute amateurs like myself and Bowen. Their bags range in price from £15 all the way up to £190 for their top-of-the-range Rebel bag. But even their heaviest bags only weigh a jaw-dropping 1.5 kilograms, which makes those long days on the course just that little bit easier, while still delivering a premium quality. After this podcast, head on over to upperparkdiscgolf.com and use the code INTHECHAINS10 to get 10% off your order. Now back to the show.
Welcome back, Chain Crew, to a brand new episode of In the Chains. Tonight on the tee box, we have the Heiser Bomb, Josh Birmingham. How's it going?
Boom.
Boom. And we have Heiser Bum, Mr. Bowen. How's it going?
Heiser Bum.
How you doing?
Oh, me? Yeah, I'm good. I'm great. I am tired from yesterday, but we had a lot of fun. And I can't wait for everyone to see the fruits of your labor.
Our labor. and it also, at the time of recording, tomorrow is your birthday.
Yeah.
The big 4-0.
Well, when you hear this episode, I will be not 40 for 2 days.
The masters, here we come.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you guys keep that joke going because it's really good. It works every time.
And then it prepares everybody then for you actually going to the Masters, doesn't it?
That's it. Kind of helps my brain get used to the fact that I'm getting old.
Yeah, I feel it today. I really do. Bowen, how about you? You good?
Yeah, I'm good. I just had a panic then that the recording had stopped, but it hasn't, so it's all right. This is what we're working with, everyone. Yeah, right,
let me paint the scene. Bowen is recording this podcast, lay down on his belly, with the computer on the floor, with a duvet around him because he won't have the heating on, even though it's freezing outside.
I thought you were the cheap one.
Exactly. Well said, Josh. Yeah, good contribution.
I spend my money on discs, and when I get too cold, I can burn a few.
That is commitment right there.
What about you, Duff?
Yeah, good. A bit tired today. We had a bit of fun yesterday. We went over to Fairways. You've probably seen the fly-through video that we put on YouTube. We have got a filmed round coming in the next... Well, hopefully in the next few days. But it'd be as and when it's ready. We had a lot of fun doing that. It's your first one. We've done a few film rounds before, but this is your first one with us, Josh, isn't it? So,
First time meeting Bowen in person as well.
Yes, exactly. It was, yeah. What did you think?
Me and him got on a house on fire. Sorry, Josh.
Yeah. Well, as soon as we jumped in the van and he caressed my knee... trying to change into second gear, I knew it was going to be a good matchup.
Was he trying to change into second gear, though?
That was... No. It was my excuse.
The second gear of our relationship, I think.
Is a metaphor. And you see the famous Fummer?
I've seen it.
Yeah.
It's nice.
Yeah? Is it a workable play?
I've never seen someone utilize a tilt as many times in one round.
It did work a couple of times.
Yeah, it might have. You might have won a bet from one of the throws.
No, he didn't. So yes, let me paint a picture. Unbiased. I will be unbiased, Bowen.
How can you be unbiased? You were involved because, in the bet. You can't.
Yeah, I know, but
it's impossible.
I am literally just explaining what the bet was and what was said. So I said, going up to, what would it have been, like the 10th hole, something like that, maybe? It's quite a long hole anyway, with a nice fairway. And I said, I bet you can't drive past the blue foot golf flag. And I said, I bet you dinner that you can't do it. And he said, oh, I bet I can. I said, well, you get me dinner if you don't, and I'll get you dinner if you do.
Lunch now, for all normal people.
So he had the tilt in his hand. So he threw the tilt, and it turned. It was a planned roller, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yep.
It is about 90 metres away as well, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, it's a decent distance, yeah. So he threw it, it rolled, and obviously, at the end of the roll, it sort of rolled round in a sort of a spiral like they do. And it was very close. Let's leave it at that. We've got it on film. And I don't want to go into who won and who didn't. Let the public make the decision.
Right, but here's where my issue is.
Go on.
Someone set the camera angle up to suit themselves. Let's just
they
put
didn't.
It that way.
They didn't. They really didn't.
Yeah.
I said... If it was past it, I genuinely would have paid for his food, and I believe he would have
You're
as
not
well,
a man of your word. You're not a man of your word. That's what I've established. You're
but
not.
It was literally either slightly behind or level.
I backed Bowen on this,
and Dennis backed me. So
no, he 100%. Didn't. Dennis
no, backed
me.
He did.
When he
came to the angle, like behind the flag, and looked across, he said it was level.
He turned around and said, from the angle that you're stood at, it looks level, but I think that Bowen's is further from the tee than the flag is. Those were his exact words.
We'll let the jury decide.
Yeah, let the jury decide. It's on video anyway, so we had a little bit of a discussion about that, didn't we?
A long one.
I got you a pint, though. I know it's not dinner, but I got you a pint, so that's a... So you can shoot your mouth.
Full of shit. You are not. No. Don't brush over it. Don't gloss over it. You are not a man of your word. You've gone down in my estimation tenfold. I'm not sure if I can A, carry on with the shop, B, carry on with the podcast. It's getting
that's
to that stage.
That'll be music to the listeners' ears.
I didn't have him pegged as a liar, honestly. But, you know, after yesterday, I just...
Why don't you two go off and do the show by yourselves?
Quite easily.
You heard it here first.
Quite easily. He's got no comeback, Josh.
I have. I'm quite happy to let the public decide.
Be careful what you wish for, Duffy. That's all
I'm going to say. I am more than happy to let the public decide on who they think was
he's
in the right.
He's confident he's skewed the evidence enough to make it show what he's saying is true.
It's like a reality TV show, really. Basically, you can't take anything that happened on that video as the truth because Duffy was in charge of directing.
He's scripted it.
He scripted the whole thing.
Like North Korea propaganda.
Exactly.
How did he make the disc land right where it landed? That's what I want to know.
Exactly.
It's like, have you ever heard of Kim Jong-un? He played ball golf on North Korea's only golf course.
He scored
a hole in one on every hole. And like all the security and everything like all vouched for him to say that, yeah, no, he definitely did it.
It wasn't even that. Wasn't it like officially ratified by the Pyongyang disc golf, not disc golf, the Pyongyang golf club or something?
Was it?
It was officially ratified by them.
I know he got a hole in one on every single hole.
He played one round in his life. That round, and then decided that he completed it and didn't need to play it again. That is genuine,
and that's basically what's going to happen on this video tomorrow. I am the King Jong-un of British disc golf. I'm the same weight as him.
You just dye your hair black,
yeah, and have a few people killed.
Anyway, we're laughing now, but crime was committed yesterday.
No, disagree. But
a crime was committed by the other team member on the same hole as well, wasn't it, Josh? We won't go into too many details, but you were screwed over by Dennis, weren't you? The same hole.
I started it. Okay. But yeah, we can't talk about that.
So okay. we're not gonna give away who won. We can just go into a little bit of detail on what the actual format of the video was, just so it makes it a bit clearer, because Josh was explaining it on camera, admittedly from my script, but it wasn't the clearest. So basically, it was a bit of a Secret Santa thing where we had two doubles, so Bowen and Josh, because they never met each other or never played, seen each other play before, went as a team. Me and Dennis come back and we filmed around. We had a present. Each person had wrapped a present up. So each team had two presents to give. Now, we could only give one present to one person on the other side. So everybody basically had a present throughout the round. And the present could either help or hinder. Now, mostly it was obviously going to hinder. But there was some interesting presents given and some interesting shots. We're not going to let on to what happened, who won, what the presents were, or anything. You have to go over and watch the video when it comes out in the next few days. But it was good fun. Let's leave it at that. Enough.
What else did we announce this week, Duffy?
Yeah, it was pretty exciting, really. We had a good conversation with the guys over at Upper Park Disc Golf in America, who make premium disc golf bags. You probably heard the advert towards the start of the podcast. We got into a bit of a partnership with them, so they're sponsoring the show and sort of the videos now. So that's pretty good. They're helping us sort of get some material out and that sort of stuff. It was really good and really excited to see where it goes.
It's a sweet deal. I'm excited to try some of their premium bags out because I have the Pinch, which is like kind of a practice bag, and it's great for your local course. Got nice little cool pockets here and there. It looks pretty smart. Like, I think it's gonna be a good partnership.
Yeah, definitely.
And I'm happy to say that I'm gonna be putting my order in on the Tesla from the money that they give us tomorrow. So
you're getting the Tesla, are you?
I'm getting a Tesla out of this deal.
Nice. Okie doke. Moving on. Let's move on to the news segment.
My turn.
Yep. We've got Bowen's fake news. Was that a horse?
I thought it was a sheep.
I didn't really go for any animal in particular, to be honest. It was just what I felt like at the time.
Okay.
Wow.
Fair enough. Changes every week. Okay. I'll accept that.
I just want to say, I thought this was my bit, but you know, you can do sheep horse noises if you want.
I told you, it's the Ayatollah. He has to get involved with everything.
The Kim Jong Un of UK disc golf.
That was the best sheep horse sound I've ever heard, sir.
Yes, you're right. I'm not going to kill you.
So it's falling apart at the seams. It gets worse every week. Right, I'm going to start with the Fairway Flyer, which me and Duffy and Dennis participated in. Not the weekend just gone, the weekend before. So it was a two-round event at Fairway. So we've been there 2 weeks in a row, haven't we, Duff? So the Open, the MPO was won by Ben Jeffrey. The nice. FPO was won by Mariana LaRocque. Am40s was won by Jamie Cross. MA2 was won by Blue Kim, who I had the pleasure of playing on the first card with.
He's a Georgia boy.
He is, yeah, he's a Georgia boy. And
he plays Croydon locally. He like moved here specifically, picked out Croydon because of the course was like, you know, right there.
Well, you wouldn't pick it out for the nice houses and the friendly neighbours, would you?
Wow. Talk talking about my club, man.
He's a good player though, isn't he, Josh? He's consistent as hell.
He's really smooth as well. I've played two rounds with him now, and he's going to be a good addition to the field competitively, I think.
Yeah, definitely. Nice. Was this one of his first tournaments then?
No, we just played some casual rounds.
Josh,
he's in a disc golf chat that some of the Croydon players are in.
Josh missed my question entirely. Don't worry, we'll move on.
Oh, sorry, what?
I said, was this one of his first tournaments then?
Oh, I don't know if it's... I don't think it's his first, like, ever. It's his first UK tournament,
oh,
I think.
Okay. Nice.
So he's only moved here, like, 4 weeks ago.
Oh, did he really?
Yeah.
Oh, bloody hell.
Coming over here, winning our competitions.
Exactly.
Disgusting.
That's how Americans do it.
And go then, back to your own country, I say.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. We've already... carry on, Josh, carry on.
I was just going to say, I can't wait to go home.
Yeah.
And, I'm kidding. I love you.
And I was going to say, we've already ostracised one American. We can do it again. Don't worry. We're King Jong Il here. We can do it again.
Yeah.
Right. MA3 was won by Bradley Dean, and MA4 was won by Christian Joseph. So well done to all those winners. It was a good tournament.
I think that
wasn't
might be Christian's first win.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, I think so.
Are these all Croydon players?
You know it.
I suppose we were down in there.
I would scream our slogan, but I'm not allowed to use it anymore.
Why?
Cock.
You can use that on here.
Come on, Croydon.
Come on, Croydon.
What did you think it was? Get your head out of the gutter.
I just thought you were swearing just for the sake of it. That's how you can swear on it.
Well, I see him looking at you that when he said it, and I was thinking, that's a bit uncalled for.
Well, how do you know who I'm looking at?
He's not wrong.
Tell.
Well, you're obviously not talking to Duffy, otherwise your days are numbered.
Yeah, yeah. He knows better than to talk to me like that.
It was a good tournament,
though. Oh, God.
Oh, yeah. Don't worry, because start again.
I was just going to say, it was a good tournament, though. It was bitterly cold. Absolutely bitterly cold.
That's because you were wearing shorts.
Yeah, but I always wear shorts. It's like my upper body and my hands that were cold. And now, if they get cold, I'm knackered then. Like shorts, I can wear shorts whenever and it doesn't affect me. But my upper body and my hands need to be warm, and they weren't warm. And I was really, really cold. By the end of it, I was ready for the pub.
The thing that got me was the wind. It was so windy.
Yeah.
Yeah, the overall scores, like, looked pretty brutal. Like, obviously the wind made it way worse, so it looked kind of uncomfortable.
Yeah, well, tell the PDGA.
The first round was
get my
okay.
ratings up, Josh.
Yeah.
Put a formal letter into it. My opinion is that the scores were lower than they normally are.
Duffy, if everyone plays bad, it reflects in the overall rate, in your
that's
overall
that's what I'm saying, tell
rating.
The PDGA. Okay. But my
well, that's how they work.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, it looked like just everyone played terribly by the ratings, but it has to be, you know.
The first,
surely not everyone went out and tanked.
To be honest, I'm sick of the PDGA. I've had enough.
Don't get me started about disc golf associations, let's put it that way. But the first round was it was windy, but everyone shot fairly well. Like I think the first round was a lot better than the second round. The second round, it sort of went. It got a bit more windy, and I think everyone scored worse. But it was
and it started
first,
snowing on the second round.
I was going to say it started snowing. Yeah, so it's our first like time of playing disc golf in the snow.
Yeah, that's rough.
So yeah,
the actual course of the tournament worked really well. There was literally no hold-ups anywhere around the course that I encountered on both rounds, which is always a sign of a good.
Yeah, you don't lose discs at that course.
No, you don't.
Really.
You don't.
That's nice.
Yeah,
actually, in the second round, we caught up with the lead MPO card. We did. I'm sorry, lads, who are on my card, but the toilet bowl MA4 lowest card caught up with an MPO League card. There's something wrong there, isn't there?
Yeah, because they're probably taking their time and like considering the shots. You literally just walk around with the tilt in your hand. What? I know you're laughing at. I took a 6 on hole 17, which wasn't my... Well, it was my fault, but I threw it into the bush, which left me with no shot. Then I had one skid...
That's like a 250-foot
hole. Yeah. I had one skid off the top, the same distance away the other side. I had one hit the band and then roll back to my feet. Then I missed a putt, then like put in. And then Bowen... I caught up with him because I'd finished my round, so I went and watched him finish the last couple of holes, and he threw the tilt from the tee to the pin and took a 5. Yeah.
What?
So he beat me with just a tilt.
I'd lost my head by then, and I was way out of contention for the win. So I just thought on the last hole, I thought, fuck it, I'm just going to throw my tilt for everything. And I putted with my tilt.
17 was your last one?
Yeah, 17. I started on 18 the second round because it was shotgun start. Yeah. And
was it normal 18, the long downhill?
No, they did change it slot. Was it a full 18? I don't think it was a full 18, was it?
It wasn't a full 18, but they took holes out in the middle of the course. It was the actual it was the actual hole 18 that you started on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was hole 18 that I started on, yeah. But hole 17, yeah, I just used a tilt and I scored a 5 and beat Duffy, who was actually trying.
Yeah. You beat him on that one hole or for the tournament?
No, on that one hole.
Yeah.
I didn't play very well, but he went up.
Beat Duffy, did Dennis get his second Duffy victory?
Ooh.
No, because he's in MA2.
They're in different divisions.
Still, though, same course.
Yeah. Mate, I was absolutely diabolical again. It's my putting, man. I just can't put. I just cannot put.
It's in your head.
Tee to green, I'm all right. Tee to green, I'm absolutely fine. Live with the best of them.
Were you having, grip issues with like the moisture and the cold?
Nope. I'm having putting issues with my brain to my hand.
Yeah.
That's the issue. And I just can't. I can't get comfortable with. And it. Like yesterday, looking at you when we was filming that round, putting from. Making putts from like edge of circle every single time, pretty much. I'm like, why can you do that and I can't? I just it boggles my mind.
Have you seen the?
I don't remember that.
Have you seen the power that Josh bangs in on his putts?
That's what I mean. And mine are pathetic. Mine like and flap so around like a bird in the wind.
Yeah,
I don't understand it.
We need a putting clinic with Josh. That's what we need.
They might be listening.
Oh.
Okie doke. So what else you got, Byron?
We had Winter Mods at Gillies, the second round of Winter Mods. That was this weekend just gone. That was yes. That was Sunday the 5th. MPO was won by Matthew Cutler. MA2 was won by Chris Brain. Amateur 40s was won by Andrew Douse. MA3 was won by Carl Heaton. And MA4 was won by Steve Williams. I can't believe it. That is the first sort of event where all the winners have got names that I can easily pronounce.
Yeah, you did really good.
Yeah. Congratulations to all of you lot. So well done. There were some good players at the Winter Mods, I did see. There were some big names there.
Oh, wait, Bowen. It's Stevan Williams.
Yeah. you said Stephen.
Yeah. Sorry, Stevan. Josh, I don't know if you were listening at the start of all this, but Duffy managed to convince me that Connor McHale's name isn't Connor McHale, it's Connor Mahale. And I kept saying it, didn't I, Duff? Oh,
yeah.
Idiot.
Yeah.
I don't know who's a bigger idiot, me or him.
I've got an idea.
Let's move on to news from further afield before we bring it back to the British scene. Matt Bell has left DGA after signing a 3-year extension. I think, was it at the start of the last season? So I don't know, it's not been announced where he's going, but he's left. Greg Bardsby is like the biggest name who's done some stuff, and he's staying with Innova for a further 3 years. And then Gavin Rathbun has moved to Dynamic Discs from Discmania. So,
cool.
There's some news from Forever Field. Right.
Some movement then?
Exactly. The big one. Now, I don't feel... Right. Sorry.
What's this, Rick? Is it you about to start the Ricky rumour?
Well, I don't know. I wasn't going to bring it up because it hasn't been confirmed, has it? It's all sort of like hearsay. But it's, Ricky...
That would be crazy. I feel like if Innova let him go, they would be making a mistake.
Well, it's... I put it on our Instagram because I read it on... apparently it had been put on like a... I don't know, it's like a Reddit forum, possibly. And there's like a few people that tend to know quite a bit about disc golf had said, yeah, I'd heard that rumour as well. Like, you know, your mates at Frolfa magazine, they put on there that they'd heard something about him going to Trilogy as well. So I was thinking, well, there's got to be something in it if, like, there's quite a few people hearing it, unless it is just a vicious rumour. But
I mean, it could be, but it would surprise me and wouldn't at the same time. I mean, he was with them for a really long time.
Or is it a way of going, yeah, I'm not tied to you, so unless you pay me, I'll look elsewhere.
But what, unless they've just made an incredible deal that he can't refuse, it's like, but I feel like Innova has the money and he's a good enough player. They should have worked something out.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. Is this not just him positioning himself for a better deal with Innova?
For a better deal.
Because well, if he was to go in and just say, yeah, I'm happy with Innova, I'm going to stay with Innova for the rest of my career or whatever. Like, what incentive then do Innova have to up the offer or give him the best deal? They don't, do they? Whereas if he goes in and says, yeah, well, I'm not tied to you indefinitely. If I could go to play for Trilogy again, I'm more than happy to do that. Like, what can you offer?
What does being the best player on the tour, though, surely that has some sway in how big a contract you get. He could just turn around and say, Paul McBeth got $1 million a year. Why aren't I getting the same?
Yeah. Yeah, no,
that's
I agree.
Got a bit,
I mean,
that's
that,
got a bit of sway, surely.
Yeah, but that's the question I would be asking. Well, if Innova felt like he was comfortable there, then they can offer him less money because they'll think, well, he needs to throw the pig. He's only winning because he's thrown the pig.
So was this like his last contracted year he had within
Innova? I'm not sure. I'm not clued up enough to... But, yeah, it's just an interesting one that I'd see scouting around. So, but like I say, I'm pretty certain... Well, certainly at this stage, it's only a rumour anyway. Nothing official's ever been brought out, has it? So
I'd be kind of sad though because I really like Ricky and I really like Innova.
Yeah, I'm exactly the same.
I started playing a long time ago, and that was just like one of the few manufacturers at the time.
Yeah,
I'm
the same, Josh. I like Innova and I like Ricky, so I would be in your camp as well. But yeah,
Josh, I wouldn't worry too much because this came from a Reddit forum and you can find some weird stuff on Reddit, so I wouldn't worry too much.
Okay. It could be a rumor, but Ricky's deal with Innova runs through 2023, apparently.
Okay.
So no one knows.
So I think it's just a bunch of hoopla.
Yeah. I think it probably is. It probably is. But the old saying, there's no smoke without fire.
Ricky can't live without a pig.
But he used to throw the heart, though.
He can throw it.
Yeah, but...
He could go to Latitude and say, right, do me a pig.
Make me a pig.
Make me a pig.
Yeah.
Like, it's that easy, isn't it?
Make me a pig.
Make me a pig.
But it is that easy, isn't it? Because we know that every company rips off each other's designs, don't they? So it doesn't.
Yeah,
it's not like he has to stay at Innova to have the pig. Like he could just go to Latitude, who are they're not quite as big, but they're a big company. They can just make the mold and print them out, can't they?
I feel like it's the pig is just a thumb-tracked zone with a smaller diameter, which is makes it way different, I guess, but still.
Have you ever thrown a pig?
I threw yours the other day.
Yeah, but would you bag one, or you like your zone too much, don't you?
I would have, yeah, if I didn't have zones, I would. Which is another topic I want to talk about at some point, but how many molds is too many? But anyway, that's a different day.
Yeah.
We had this discussion on a hot take, didn't we? That disc golf companies are just trying to pry extra money out of you by bringing out more and more molds. And
I remember that show. Remember that.
Yeah, so I sort of feel like there is sort of like legs to that conversation. Like, you don't need that many different molds or plastics either. I don't think you need that many plastics.
Yeah. I guess at the end of the day, wherever Rookie goes, he's going to be throwing them really well.
Yeah.
I reckon so. Right, what else
you got? But he ain't going nowhere.
You what? What else have we got? Right.
Yeah.
Let's go back to the UK. Now, the BDGA, the British Disc Golf Association, have announced the Amateur Championship. Well, just the championships for...
Start again. Start from you saying about the BDGA and what it stands for. So you said they've announced.
It's all right, I'm just reading it. So, oh, it is just the Amateur Championships. The BDGA have announced, the British Disc Golf Association have announced the Amateur Championships for next year. Now, this makes for some interesting reading because to me it seems a bit off, like a bit ski-whiff with the numbers. Like, I don't quite get it because... They've allowed, there's 90 total players, and they've allowed 40 places for age-protected divisions, and only 50 places for the other amateur divisions. Now, to me, and this is nothing against ages, I'm not ageist or anything, but they've allowed 30 MA1 players, and there's a way you've got to qualify for them. Like, it's a point race, and If you win events and things, but in those 30 places, there's going to be 5 from MA2 and 5 from MA3. Now, if you move, there's going to be 15 female places, which to me doesn't seem like a lot. But then if you go to the age protected, they've afforded for a lot of age groups, what seems to me like too many, not too many places, but over the amount, like they've offered 5 places, and this is nothing against this age group, but 5 places to MA60 players and 5 places to FA60 players. Well, I can name 2 MA60 players. I can't name any more. Now, I don't know everything about British disc golf. But if you're only allowing 5 MA2 players who make up a much wider like player base, why you are offering 5 MA60 players? I don't understand. Seems to me like they've dropped a bollock here. Now, we're always bashing them, like everyone's always bashing them, but here it just doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah, I would put the sort of the put it out there that we are fully appreciative of what the BDGA do. My gripe in this is the MA3, you have 5 players, I'm going to look in front of me, but you have 5 players from MA3 and 5 players from MA2 and so many from MA1, I believe. Now,
yeah.
To get into the from MA3, you have to have won an MA3 tournament.
Yes.
But it's nobody from MA3 is going to be winning because it's one amateur championship at the end of the season, isn't it? So everybody's put into the same pot. Now, nobody from MA3 is going to get anywhere near challenging or winning anything at the British Championships. So
I thought, but if you just have to win an MA3 tournament to qualify for the MA1 champs at the end of the year, is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so you'll make it into champs if you win your division at some point in the season.
But what's the point? Because I'm going up against MA1 players. I mean, I'm pretty certain I won't be winning a tournament, but...
I think the problem last year was just there was Too many spots going to lower AM divisions for an event called Champs, which should be the elite.
Josh, they couldn't, and this is nothing against you MPO players, they couldn't even fucking fill up the MPO field. That's why they had to invite all the amateurs.
Yeah. Well, maybe that is the case at the end of this season when, you know, say they don't get the five from MA60, then they'll allot those two for, you know, additional, you know, non-protected groups, or I don't actually know that, but
it just, to me, there aren't five, and this is nothing against anyone, but there aren't five over 60 players, male or female, in the UK. I go through the results regularly for the news. How many tournaments have two MA60 players? And this is nothing against individual players.
I will play devil's advocate.
Yeah.
If you're reading the tournament from, say, I don't know, one of the Devon tournaments, and there's perhaps three MP60s or MA60s,
what are we talking? MA60s.
So say there's three people entered that. Now, that's not saying across the UK, because bear in mind, this is across the whole of the British Isles, that there's people, there might be one or two from Northern Ireland, there might be one or two from Scotland, who aren't going to perhaps come down for the Devon tournament, but would still like to have a chance of qualifying for the champs at the end of the season. So,
But it should be done on a percentage basis. I don't know. It just feels to me like they're shitting on the amateurs yet again. They shitted on us last year by removing MA4, and now they're shitting on us again by removing MA2 and MA3.
Well, yeah, we'll have them on for sure to answer these questions and see kind of what's behind their decision making, but I'm pretty sure they've done at least two like open houses where anyone could sign up, come in, ask their questions, and kind of help mold the structure for this coming year. Yeah. And it sounded like everyone was pretty happy at the end of these. So it'd be interesting to get them on and kind of hear it from the horse's mouth, as they say. But, you know, it hasn't been – I guess that's been announced for AMS, but I think the pro one's just about complete. So we'll hear about that one too. So maybe we'll wait for them to come out with those and – kind of get all our questions.
So what you're saying is, Josh, you don't give a shit about the amateurs and it's all right.
Yeah, that's it. I mean,
elitist.
No, I get.
Whatever, man. Now that there's an MA1, I might be an amateur again.
I get it if you want to say no championship for amateurs, just the best players in the country. But if you are going to bring out an amateurs championship, like, at least make it an amateurs championship where, like, the biggest division in the UK is most definitely MA3. So why are they only being given five spots in a tournament that, no offence to any of them, unless it's a real home field advantage, they're not going to fucking win. It just seems...
I think you've just proved your point there. I think that's
why not just give them their own championship? If you're going to make an amateur championships, they've split all the age divisions down because you have to, because you can't have 40-year-olds playing 60-year-olds. I get that. But why not split down so that you've got an MA3 amateur one? Why not split down? It just seems to me like...
I have a question. In what other sport, in like an MA3 level player, can that person go to a championship?
There's amateur championships. There's a lot of them in sports.
Yeah, but what Josh is saying,
amateur division.
Yeah, if you have an amateur tournament, you have one winner.
It's just amateurs.
Level one winner, level two winner, level three winner. You don't have that. And I do see. I mean, it's difficult for me because I've very much got sort of a foot in the camp. I don't know if that's the right saying, but like it impacts me because it's my division that I play in, so it would probably mean whether I go to British Champs or I don't. So it's disappointing for me on a personal level, but I can see in this aspect, not so much what Bowen was saying about the age protected groups, but with the MA3 not having its own individual division and just having an amateur winner, I do see why you would do that personally. But I just, it's sort of detrimental to me personally.
It sucks because it's been a thing in the past, and people have become used to this thing. But as the population of disc golfers grow here, there's going to be less and less room for that kind of stuff, and you're going to have what they're coming up with now, and just throwing everyone in the same amateur, you know, bin, because, I mean, because you can't everyone, like you're saying. And age protected has to be there.
Well, open it up.
But percentages would make more sense, but I don't know why they've done the five for
everyone. Like, and this is nothing against any age protected players. This is against me looking at numbers of players and then numbers of spots and thinking, hang on, there's a big fucking disconnect here. And that's all it is. And it's not berating any age protected players. I want to make that clear, because I think it is very important with disc golf that you have every age group playing, every skill level playing. And I think that's important because that's the growth of the sport.
Well, and you can play every other event the whole season.
But it just feels to me like they've...
And then you can go enjoy and watch champs.
Josh, no offence. I'm either playing or I'm doing something else. I ain't watching people, especially... This is nothing against amateurs because I am shit. But I'm not watching someone who's a bit better than me. I'm not going to waste my time driving somewhere at the other end of the country to watch a player a bit better than me playing a tournament that I can't even fucking qualify for. Well, it doesn't interest me.
You could caddy.
No, I ain't gonna fucking caddy.
What you could do is move up to MPO, play multiple tournaments, pick up your 5 points for finishing last,
and then qualify from the inside,
it down from the inside.
A Trojan horse of sorts.
So get yourself into the MPO championships by just picking up 5 points each tournament.
That's the sort of thing that blows my mind. Like, that can be done, can't it?
So I'm with Josh. I think the best thing to do is, we're obviously, you've got gripes. I've got a couple of gripes. Josh has got questions to ask, not so much gripes, but questions to ask as well. And I think it would be useful to get the BDG on at some point to put these questions to them. Because, I mean, us discussing it between ourselves isn't going to lead to anything. We don't know the answers to the questions that we're asking ourselves. So why not get the people on who have made the decisions and put the questions to them? So I think that's something that we'd like to do in the next month or so, I think, and just put some questions to them, and perhaps if any of the listeners have got questions about it that they would like us to ask on their behalf, either with their name or anonymously, then that's absolutely fine. Just get in touch, and we can do this.
Is nothing against the BDGA either, because, like, I know some of them personally, and then they're good people. I just think that they dropped a bollock.
Okie doke.
But then you can't please everyone, can you?
No, that's the thing. So, yeah, over to the main sort of topic. We thought, because me and Bowen's been the last couple of weeks, but you went yesterday, Josh, with us. We'll just give a little mini review of Fairways, for people who haven't played it. So, for people who haven't played it, it's a ball golf course that also has foot golf and disc golf. Now, subsequently, that means that it's pretty well maintained, and you have really long sort of open fairways, which suits your game, Josh, I think. absolutely bomb it down the fairways. The course itself, there's some elevation, but it's just a really picturesque course. I'd heard a lot about it. I'd heard the tee pads are really nice, AstroTurf tee pads, which were really nice, and they are really nice, probably the best in the country, I would say, tee pad wise. What's your thoughts? We just thought we'd have a little chat about it.
It's definitely one of my favorite courses that I can get to, like, you know, an easy day trip from London. The only other course that I would put above it would be like Bluebell, or I haven't been to Whitcomb, but I can only assume it's amazing.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's a great place to play disc golf. It's like you said, well maintained. The tees are great, so you're not slipping anywhere. You don't lose many discs because it's just open fairways.
Yeah.
I personally wish they could utilize a few more longer drives and longer holes. There's a couple of short ones out there that are fun to play, but it just seems like they have the potential to have like a black course or something like a just super challenge, maybe in addition to what they have now. But no, I'd definitely go there a few times a month. The other thing kind of holds me back from it, though, is not the other thing, but one thing that holds me back is the 12 yeah. pounds around.
Yeah.
Especially in these short days, but
which they,
I mean,
they didn't have a day. They didn't have a day rate yesterday, did they? But I think since the podcast, since we've been and when we've recorded the podcast, they have actually introduced a day rate and saved like £4 for a couple of rolls.
Yeah, it's probably because of us that they've done it.
Probably. what was you going to say, Josh? I was cutting you off. Sorry.
Yeah, just about the price, but the ball golfers and foot golfers are paying the same rate, so it's, you know, it's only fair.
Yeah.
And when you're out there, it's private. You don't have people walking in the fairways or doing picnics or any stuff like that. And it's really quiet, kind of serene.
Red kites everywhere. Like,
kites flying everywhere. It's beautiful. Yeah.
One thing, just to pick up on what you said, just in terms of the longer fairways and things like that. And I don't know if it's actually to do with the length of holes, but I was talking to, I think it was Gary behind, who was working in the sort of the shop where you sort of pay and get refreshments from. And he was saying that when Dan was designing and putting in the course, they had to sort of have a couple of amendments from what he wanted originally to do in order to fit in with different aspects of perhaps the ball golf. I don't know, like, or the foot golf or whatever it may be. I think it was like to protect trees and stuff. Whether some of the holes were cut shorter because of that, I don't know. But it seems like certainly the one, like hole five, I feel like they could have made that a proper true par five, maybe.
Is that the first big one when you cross the...
Yes. They could have gone out to the end.
Yeah, I feel like something like that could have happened, maybe, and actually put... Because there's not many true par fives. I think Mount Edgecombe's got a couple, but they're sort of just almost like throw it as far as you can holes without any real obstacles in the way at all.
Yeah.
Well,
hole nine fairways, so it's... the short downhill, baskets to the left,
yeah,
that little putter shot.
Yeah,
like if you just played that the normal fairway of the golf course, and it's just like 1,500 feet, downhill, and you could probably throw one like 700 if you got it right.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you could, but
I mean, you know, just I don't know. It's a great course. I'm not saying that. Yeah. I'm just saying
what you
see out there, you just know there's so much more potential. But yeah, like you said. Probably the planning with the other courses and all that stuff.
To do that, Josh, I would assume, though, that you'd have to then perhaps cut it down to, like, 15 holes.
Maybe.
So would that be worth the sacrifice, losing three holes?
I mean, maybe it's just, like, a jungle layout or...
Yeah.
Like I said, just an extra layout on top of what they already have.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Just, like, throw in maybe, like, three or four extra baskets here and there. And say, all right, you got A pin,
what,
B pin.
What you lads are completely missing is the, you know, the uphill one. Is it, what's the uphill, what number's the uphill one? You know, the mega uphill one?
I think it's 11.
13, I think it's 13? 13, yeah.
13.
If you turn around on the tee pad, you've got that whole section that's not being utilised at the moment, haven't you? Have you seen that?
Yeah.
But I don't think any part of the courses, I mean, ball golf or foot golf, none of that's being used down there. So they don't want to start that.
Well, I was talking to somebody, I think it was Ben Jeffries actually at the Fairways Flyer, and he was saying, because he plays it fairly regularly, that they are on about putting a tee pad on that hole, that particular hole, the one that's really strongly uphill, further back down on the bottom there, so it's even more of a uphill
look at
shot.
Josh's eyes.
So
So they must have some access to it, but there's got to be a reason why they haven't put holes down now, I would have thought, without knowing. We're only speculating, but
yeah,
the actual course, I mean, we haven't played, I haven't played it in the summer. Have you played it in the summer, Josh?
Yeah, I've played it maybe like 8 rounds now so far.
What does it play like in the summer? Any different?
Oh, it's great.
Yeah.
Nah, you get more skip shots off the fairways in the summer because it's drier
and
a little bit harder ground. It's actually more fun, I think. Obviously, you got more trees in the way, but that doesn't really affect you there.
Yeah,
and as much.
And I've only played the long course, but there is actually a short course put in as well, which has a few different baskets. Some are the same holes, but some are different baskets. So there is sort of the beginner sort of course as well available. But other than sort of it being a little bit steep, but like you said, you can sort of justify it because they are charging that for ball golf and foot golf as well, and it's really well maintained. So it's kind of like...
Yeah, if you compare your experience to playing Croydon disc golf, which is a great course, but... tons of distraction and people and, you know, hazards versus going out there and like a pristine, quiet, serene. It's just, it's worth it.
Yeah. I think so. I agree. And I'm tight as they come. So,
and they sell lemon and they have lemon drizzle cake.
And that was nice, to be fair. But yeah, so, I mean, if nobody's been or you sort of you're a couple of hours away or something like that, it's definitely worth a trip down. Whether you wait a little bit now because you're not getting as many hours in the day, not getting as much as your money's worth for a day rate as you would perhaps in the summer, but I'd definitely go down and give it a bash. Like I said, the tee pads are the nicest. What do you like, Josh? Do you like, from a pro's perspective, do you prefer the tee pads that they had at fairways? So like, a really sort of well-maintained sort of AstroTurf type tee pad? Or do you prefer concrete tee pads?
I think I like the turf because good turf, especially in the rain, you don't slip on it either way, but sometimes concrete can get slick with rain or if they don't texturize it right, you know. So I think AstroTurf's the way to go. But, you know, you have to replace it from time to time, I would assume. But yeah, if you've got the money, I'd go AstroTurf.
If you've got the money.
Actually, concrete's probably more expensive.
But you don't have to, but it'll
last.
There's
going to be concrete underneath the tee pad, isn't there?
Probably sand. It's sand, I imagine. And
is it?
Yeah, they just
concrete lasts about 60 years as well, so it doesn't really, like, it doesn't matter if it's more expensive to put in. It'll last a lot longer.
There you go. Our resident
there you go,
You think they'd use 3,000 PSI concrete?
Or Josh you want knows the, about concrete, don't he?
Yeah. Yeah. Industrial strength has to... If you're going to be commercial use concrete, it's got to be at least 3,000 PSI.
Is that one of your jobs that you've done in the past?
Just one of my...
He was telling us on
many.
Sunday... Maybe you weren't there. Carry on.
I have like permanent psoriasis from concrete on my pinky finger.
Were you
finger.
Not there? Were you?
I have psoriasis as well.
When we talk about
that. No, I think I'll probably film in the drone room when I'm by myself.
He was going to get his discount from the Green King pub.
Josh, tell you what I like about fairway. Are you just going to talk to Josh for the last 10 minutes?
I want the opposite end of the scale. Go on. Tell us what you liked and disliked about fairways.
I like it because you saw there's no, like, some courses are real tough. And if you're not hitting the perfect line, you get screwed for it. Whereas fairways, now I don't know if this is for Josh, he feels like it's easy, but for me it feels easier because you have got that if you are off of your line, it's not the end of the world. Do you know what I mean?
No.
Yeah.
So
yeah. Well, I shot the course record my very first time around blind. So that tells you all you need to know right there. It's like, it's like you're saying, it's open, so when you throw it off maybe into another fairway, you still got to look.
Yeah, yeah.
which the best time, the best court, the best round of golf I ever played, stick golf, was a course, and all the fairways were like stacked, and like I never hit one in the same fairway, but I always had a shot at the pin. So like I shot a 99.
That's not and, that's not like, very good, like is it, Josh?
It's the only time I ever shot in double digits, so it was good for it's good for Josh.
What?
But anyway, it has that effect out there as well, like you're saying.
If you were playing a tournament there, Josh, would you make the OBs stricter, or just in ball golf courses in general? Would you tend to make let it rip, or let people rip on him on the disc?
You
or
could do
would
both.
You
I,
tend
you could,
to have more stricter OB to make it.
Could
a
you do
bit
both,
of,
or is that against the rules? Could you do a layout on the first round, and then the second round you could do a different layout, couldn't you?
Yeah, you could. You could. I am not a huge fan of unnecessary OB. I don't know. I kind of liked more of let it rip type disc golf. Like, you know when they did the preserve this past year, when it was just like, they could almost do anything and still be in bounds.
Yeah.
And you just, it's more exciting because you're going to see that 700 foot shot occasionally.
Yeah.
Which we're not doing that, but, no, I kind of like a more open, freer style of golf. I mean, I don't know.
Another question for you then. At the British Champs in Manchester, there was a, on hole 3, there was like a OB on top of the rock, in front of the pin, on that rocky sort of mound. Mm-hmm. Now, not just that one in general, because I know a lot of people said that they like the placement of that one, but is there some sort of scope for having OB for perhaps MPO division that isn't OB for amateur division? Because the reason why I picked that one out is because most people in the MPO division use that mound to throw it as far as they can into that mound, let it stick, and then it's easy to put into the basket.
Backstop.
So use it as a backstop. So that mound was made OB to stop that from happening. Now, I'm not reaching there, and there's not too many people in MA3 that are reaching there. Maybe one or two.
Yeah.
There might be a few more in MA2, but I feel that could easily have been an OB for MPO.
Yeah, it feels targeted towards a specific division, for sure.
Well, no, it's put in for you to stop you guys. But equally, it's punishing me, or not me personally, but our division's hard more, because it's such a tough shot then to throw that second shot.
But everyone's treated the same, aren't they then? It doesn't make a difference. If your whole division's treated that way, it doesn't make too much of a difference, does it?
Yeah, it's all relative, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. Just a thought that I was having when I was having a terrible round.
Well, I was kind of bitching about that hole.
Yeah, the river hole.
Before, no, hole 3.
Oh, okay.
Hole 3 at Champs.
Yeah.
And before I played the practice round, because I just saw it on paper and I was like, oh, that's stupid. But once I got out there and I played it, I was like, it's actually really good. Because you do have to control your distance as an MPO player. But you're still trying to get close, so you can possibly get that two.
Yeah.
I saw people lay up and land short in the OB as well. So it's because it drops off the back. So it's actually a pretty smart OB.
Yeah, yeah. I wasn't really pinpointing that particular one as a really good example. I'm just thinking, is the scope for having? I mean, it won't matter soon because MPO and MA. And amateurs won't even see each other, will they? But I'm just thinking, is the scope for having sort of OB lines that apply to certain divisions and not others?
So you'd be like, the red OB lines are just for MA1, and the white OB lines are for MPO.
Well, not too difficult, but like, some OBs that are relevant for some divisions and not others. I don't know.
It'd be too confusing.
It would be confusing, I think, yeah. I think that's probably why it's not been done. But, cool. Conscious of the time now. What was I going to say?
He's in his yoga pose. That's it.
We've got some cool stuff coming on in the chain shop over the next sort of week or so. Some new discs coming in. Check those out. We've actually added the luxury now of having a box. Having the disc sent in a box.
You can have a box.
Yeah, just buy the box. You can choose. We've still given you the option. So if you're cheap like me and you'd rather have it, the postage at £2 for a single disc in an envelope, then you can choose that option.
How many discs can we send in a box? Have it in a
I think probably about okay. three. I think the site's set up for three discs, I think. And then we've got bigger boxes, but at that rate, it would be three.
How big is your biggest box?
Oh, we can go as big as you want, Josh. We can go as big as you want.
We've got one from MVP that you could literally live in.
So
you know, I used to live in a box on the side of the street.
Is there anything you haven't done, Josh?
No.
I don't know whether that's true or not.
This is a good episode next time. Just what has Josh done?
So then the next episode we put out will be the Christmas show. So we're gonna have a couple of guests on. We're not gonna say who they are at the moment. We're gonna have a bit more of we're pretty casual anyway, but we're gonna have a pretty casual sort of show next time. It should be good. We've got a couple of things planned. So
we're gonna sing Christmas carols.
No.
Are we gonna have mold beverages?
Mold.
I don't drink wine at the best of time, let alone when it's warm.
Always got his Elton John Christmas glasses on.
I'm ready for a Christmas episode. Can we just do it now?
That you are very festive, Josh.
He looks like right, an elf. Okie doke.
An elf, yeah. Right, let's end it there, I think. So thank you very much for listening. Remember, in the chain shop, we've got some stuff coming in the next week or so. And you can buy in a box now. That's it, I think. So remember to
keep an eye out for the video.
Yeah, okay. And also remember that we have the video coming out. We're not entirely sure when at the moment, but it's going to be in the next few days after this podcast releases, which is going to be pretty good, I think. Kay, my wife's working pretty hard on it, so hopefully it'll turn out pretty well. Have you got anything else left to say, Joshua?
Yeah. Bowen is owed a free lunch, so that's really all I have to say.
Right, so next week, join me and Bowen when we are going to have a couple of guests.
Join me and Josh.
You got anything else to say?
Join.
You got anything else to say,
Josh,
Bowen?
Josh are starting a new show.
Okie doke. Remember to keep it in the chains.
Keep it in the chains.
Why does this... It's like every week I wait for Bowen, but Bowen waits for me, and then I get awkward, and then this happens every time. I don't even care anymore.
Just say it.
Keep it in the chains.
Keep it in the chains.
Kim Jong-un.
Thanks for listening to In the Chains. Be sure to subscribe so you don't miss an episode. And if you like the show, please leave us a review. Make sure to check out our YouTube channel to view our round videos and course flythroughs. And hit subscribe there too. Until next time, keep it in the chains.